Your home for Durand Panther Sports is Real Country, 1430 AM and 107.3 FM, WRDN.
Just like you always said we would. Packed your bags in that old 4Runner that I bought you when things were good. I'm glad to see the stop sign didn't hit you, bring you back to your senses. Oh, it waved you gone goodbye. Yeah.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A White House meeting has wrapped up between President Biden and congressional leaders aimed at ironing out problems on a spending bill with just days to go before a Friday government shutdown deadline. House Speaker Mike Johnson, after the meeting, called them productive.
Over the last several days, quite literally around the clock, to get that job done, we're very optimistic. I hope that the other leaders came out here and told you the same. We believe that we can get to agreement on these issues and prevent a government shutdown.
The president calling on Congress to act, saying it would be devastating to the economy. He, along with Democratic leaders, also urged the House Speaker to take up the Senate-passed foreign aid bill for Ukraine and Israel. The economy, one of the issues on voters' minds today in Michigan, casting ballots in the presidential primary races. Health and Human Services Secretary Javier Becerra is in Alabama today, hearing from IVF patients and providers. It follows the state Supreme Court's ruling that frozen embryos are children. This is ABC News. The Insurance Institute for Highway Safety is out with its picks for the safest cars of 2024.
The Hyundai Motor Group was the big winner overall, with 16 Hyundai, Kia, and Genesis vehicles winning either Top Safety Pick or Top Safety Pick Plus awards. Among them, Kia's Telluride and the new for 2024 Hyundai Kona. Five different Mazdas took home Top Safety Pick Plus awards. That's the most of any single brand. And it comes after the IIHS changed its awards criteria, upping the requirements for backseat passengers and pedestrian crash avoidance systems. Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
San Francisco's Board of Supervisors voting on a resolution later today to apologize to black residents for decades of discrimination and racist laws. All 11 members have signed on as sponsors of the resolution guaranteeing its passage. The measure calls on San Francisco to commit to making substantial ongoing systemic changes in the community. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
When Cynthia came to TurboTax, she had just launched her new side gig. A true crime podcast.
I'm a first-rate detective with a golden voice.
As her TurboTax expert, I made her second income count by guaranteeing 100% accurate filing and her maximum refund.
What did she do with that refund? Find out next week.
Switch to Intuit TurboTax and make your moves count. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees. Experts only available with TurboTax Live.
Tax Talk with Straight Talk.
You give and you give. This tax season, you get with Straight Talk Wireless. You get a reliable 5G network and unlimited data and a Samsung Galaxy A14 included when you buy an extended Silver Unlimited plan. So you can give your janky phone to your kid.
Yeah!
Switch to Straight Talk for plans starting as low as $25 a line per month for 4 lines. Find us at straighttalk.com. For network management practices, visit straighttalk.com. Device offer ends 4/14/24. Online only. Family plan discount with 4 lines all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Taxes and fees apply.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Aylin. The leader of Minnesota's second largest school district has been tapped to lead schools in his hometown of Madison.
St. Paul Schools Superintendent Joe Gothard has been named the new superintendent of the Madison Metropolitan School District, beating out two other applicants for the job. Gothard is a Madison native, graduate of Edgewood College in Madison, and former MMSD employee, having served as a middle and high school principal and assistant superintendent before taking the St. Paul job in 2017. Gothard, recently named National Superintendent of the Year, will now lead Wisconsin's second largest public school district, serving 26,000 K-12 students in 52 schools. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
A standing room only crowd at Monday night's Green Bay School Board meeting. That large turnout came to show their support for Dr. Claude Taylor Jr., asking the board to reinstate him as the Green Bay District's superintendent. One of Taylor's supporters, Mary Yang.
Every time I have a sliver of hope that you guys would do the right thing, it keeps coming down and getting shattered.
Please do the right thing now. Reinstate Dr. Tiller.
Public comment portion of the meeting went on for over 2.5 hours. That came after the board held 2 closed sessions. The board says it followed procedures before Tiller's resignation.
Dr. Tiller submitted his resignation after an investigation began into comments he made on an Atlanta radio show. The board is aware that allegations were made that Dr. Tiller did not receive due process while the board was investigating his comments. The board says they ensured that all of Dr. Tiller's rights as an employee were respected. He was represented by his own legal counsel throughout the investigation leading up to his resignation. The statement aims to correct misinformation and says there have been threats made against individuals as a result of misinformation. I'm Rachel Charniak, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Wondering how to choose from all your spring break options? Pop quiz. Is your family into monkeying around, airbending on a flying bison, or diving into slime? Or all of it? Mall of America. Go bananas on the new Boots Banana Swing Ride. Take to the sky and fly with Appa. Then get slimed in the Nickelodeon Universe Slimulator. For the littles, cosmic crafts, and more at Crayola Experience. It's the spring break of choice at Mall of America. MallofAmerica.com/spring.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. The warmth continues for now as highs spike to the mid-50s. Clouds will thicken and winds will begin to whip as a chance of snow arrives tonight. Expecting around an inch, we'll be battling blustery cold by tomorrow. One call to Tax Solutions Now will solve all of your IRS problems. 1-800-281-8193. It's 56 degrees at our studios.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
Live from Transport Tuesday via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning we begin with a conversation with Dr. Vince Malanga from LaSalle Economics. Then it's Doug Hensley from Hertz Real Estate, and directly following the news, Karen Bonert from Farm Journal's Milk. I'm in for Chip all dang day today. It's me, extraordinary guest host Davis Michelson. Thank you so much for tuning into AgriTalk this morning. I am behind the big green leafy microphone of AgriTalk on a Transport Tuesday. No, we're not necessarily going to focus on transport issues today. No, no, no. Our beloved host and Big Apple Joe are in transit even as we speak, or at least getting ready to be so. They're headed to Commodity Classic. Big Apple Joe Stacko is going to check in with us in the fourth. Dude wants to elbow his way into the conversation, talk a little bit about where you can find AgriTalk, Chip Flory. He will be signing babies certain times of the day. I'm not sure. So if you want to get your baby signed by Chip Flory, bring it on into Commodity Classic. You're not going to want to miss that. We'll hear from them. Here's the thing. Okay, Doug Hensley from Hertz Real Estate, and I don't want to downplay his role on what we've got going today, because Doug always offers very valuable insights. He's got a great perspective, obviously, on the land market. That's what the guy does. He's president of a land place thing. So he's bound to know. I'm curious to hear what he's got to say, what he's thinking about looking forward. You know, maybe some reflections on the end of 2023. We'll find out what we need to be thinking about land-wise from Doug Hensley. Looking forward to that. But we've got Dr. Vince Malanga from LaSalle Economics. I want to begin speaking with him as a New Yorker, not as an economist. There's a lot of freaky stuff going on in New York City. And let me be clear from the very, very top. Some of this involves the humongous bill that a judge handed former President Donald Trump. I want to be clear. I'm not shilling for President Trump. No, that's not what this conversation is about. But that legal decision did elicit a response from truckers. I've seen some stuff about it on YouTube. I want to find out if Vince knows anything about this, if it's as big a deal as some are saying. It's going to be an exciting show. I got a lot to get to. Bitcoin at 57,000, new highs there. Weird. We'll see where we wind up with Vince. There's a lot I want to talk about with Dr. Malanga. And then, of course, Karen Bonert after the news, if I have time to get through it all. Let's begin here with the news, with the USDA reported daily export sale, 123,000 metric tons of soybeans, this to unknown during the 23-24 marketing year. And it was probably China. Let's see, I'm trying to, now my translator still says unknown.
I guess we'll never know. From the National Weather Service Weather Outlook, heavy snow returns over parts of the Cascades, the Northern Intermountain region, and Northern Rockies on Wednesday. Heavy snow over parts of the Upper Mississippi Valley and moderate to heavy snow over the Cascades to Central Rockies on Tuesday. That's today. Light to moderate snow over the Great Lakes. Hello, South Bend. Central Appalachians and Northeast on Wednesday. Light snow there as well. A slight risk of severe thunderstorms over parts of the Ohio Valley and Great Lakes on Tuesday. Wait, light to moderate snow over the Great Lakes plus a slight risk of severe thunderstorms over parts of the Ohio Valley and Great Lakes today? Wow. Look out, South Bend. South American crop consultant Dr. Michael Cordonier kept his Brazilian and Argentine crop estimates unchanged given rains last week. And more in the forecast this week. Cordonier estimates Brazil's production at 145 million metric tons for beans and 112 million metric tons for corn. Argentina's production he puts at 50 million metric tons for soybeans and 54 million metric tons for corn. But Dr. C has a neutral to lower bias toward crops in both countries. Well, with less than 4 days until a crucial deadline for federal funding extension, Congress has begun preparations for a partial government shutdown. While a bipartisan spending deal is possible, disagreements persist on issues like aid to Ukraine and border security. House Speaker Mike Johnson faces pressure from his conservative faction, complicating resolution without a short-term deal by Friday. Several departments, you got the USDA, the Energy Department, Transportation Department, Veterans Affairs, and others could run out of funds. That affects about 20% of the federal government and key priorities like military construction. Well, Treasury Janet Yellen will highlight the U.S. economy's robustness as a significant factor in global economic resilience during meetings with top officials from G20 and developed nations, this in Sao Paulo, Brazil. Yellen's prepared remarks underscore predictions of a worldwide economic slowdown in 2023 as forecast by the International Monetary Fund and others, and it did not come to fruition. Did it or did it not? I don't know. This might be a good question for Vince. In other news, top oil industry lobbying groups, including the American Petroleum Institute, are challenging via a petition the Biden administration's halt on approving new liquefied natural gas exports. A trade group representing LNG exporters expressed concerns about the pause, stating it could have adverse effects on the market, making it difficult for U.S. developers, there's that word again, to secure financial commitments and complete projects. And finally, let's go to this one. House Republicans are questioning the effectiveness of President Biden's electric vehicle program. In a letter, they highlight slow progress in EV infrastructure development, citing delays in charger delivery, labor contracting issues, and concerns about award distribution. And with that, let's get to our very own Karen Bonert from Farm Journal's Milk. Good morning, Karen. How are you?
I'm great. Good morning.
Well, milk production drops for the seventh month in a row. The headline screams in dairy herd. Can we talk about the USDA milk production report? What'd you find there, Karen?
Yeah, it sounds like a broken record, right? And it's just less milk and fewer cows. But the cow numbers, Davis, it's the lowest number since November of 2019. When we look at that report a little bit deeper, the steepest decline was from New Mexico. 42,000 fewer cows, considerably less milk, 97 million pounds less. We look at our friends in Texas, they saw a drop of 56 million, 15,000 less cows, but really a lot of that can be contributed to the state's large barn fire last April. But on the positive outlook, I like to keep my eyes open to South Dakota. It once again showed a positive increase in both milk pounds and more cows. In fact, that state has increased, Davis, more than 70% in cow numbers since 2019, which their governor is a big fan of, as it has boosted nearly $4 billion to the state annually. So it's bringing in a lot of money. But really what doesn't make sense to me is that low production and yet cheese prices are struggling. It's showing us that demand isn't stellar by any means. And really that's what has to improve if we want to see milk prices to improve. So there's a lot to see in the U.S. milk production report. But what producers are really looking for is, when is this milk price going to rebound?
How are dairy producers weathering the low price environment?
Well, you know, I think probably more optimistically than most, because this isn't new, right? It's a roller coaster.
Sure.
But they've been on this downward trend long enough. So they need to have a little bit of optimism to perk them going into spring.
Everybody needs a little sunshine now and then, don't they, Karen?
Isn't that true? Isn't that true?
We appreciate you, Karen Bonert from Farm Journal's Milk. Have a great day.
Coming up
on the other side of this break, I've got Dr. Vince Malanga from LaSalle Economics. What the heck is going on in New York City? We'll see if we can find out. We should probably talk rates, Fed stuff too, probably. AgriTalk.
Maine dairy farmers Betsy and Bill Bullard get why growing global demand matters.
A robust export market is part of a strong dairy industry. It's extremely important for Chekhov to be at the table with international trade partners because nothing happens by accident.
Chekhov's got the resources to know how can we put milk from the U.S. in these countries, which is something I can't do as a dairy producer.
Learn about your Chekhov strategy to make every drop count at usdairy.com.
There I was, driving along, when I saw the corn laying down in the field, goosenecked again. Even though I tried everything, new traits, existing soil insecticides, every corn grower knows the hassle of gooseneck corn. But now there's Narisma Insecticide from BASF, a better, stronger in-furrow insecticide that controls corn rootworm and below-ground pests. Stand up for your corn with Narisma Insecticide. Ask your authorized BASF retailer about Narisma. And always read and follow label directions.
This is Chip Flory with another Appetite for Pork report. Dr. David Newman with the National Pork Board. The Pork Checkoff has been working to expand markets here at home. David, what exactly does that mean for pork producers?
It means we need to understand who our consumer is, what they want to purchase, what they want to prepare, and also where they're shopping. So using the data and insights we gather at the National Pork Board, it prepares us well for future consumers. So understanding and building relationships with retailers, food service companies, even convenience store operations is important.
All right, what does that look like on the ground level?
We currently have activations in more than 579 food service locations and numerous convenience store locations as well. So this is starting to pay off in the volume and value gain for pork producers.
Thanks again, David, for talking with us today about how the Pork Checkoff is building a bigger appetite for U.S. pork. You can find more information at porkcheckoff.org/radio.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731. Copyright 2019. All rights reserved.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
Knowledge is power. We're here to charge your batteries. AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Your pal, Davis Michelson, here. Glad to have you with us on a Tuesday morning. Chip and Big Apple Joe are traveling, headed down to Commodity Classic. It's going to be great. You should get down there, too. We're going to get some more details from Big Apple Joe in the fourth segment. Is just directly how you can hook up with them, find them, and where they will be at. In the meantime, I want to talk a little bit of New York City. I want to talk a little bit of economy. Nobody better. Dr. Vince Malanga, LaSalle Economics. Thank you, sir, for joining us this morning. How's everything?
Good morning, Davis. How you doing?
I'm doing just fine. Can I speak to you first as a New Yorker rather than an economist?
Sure.
Okay. Because I'm hearing all kinds of stuff, Vince, and I really wanted to talk to you specifically about some New York City issues that I don't know how big of a deal they are. I don't know how many of them are even true or whatever. So I'm just going to start here. Okay. And this is not, okay. I don't want to stir up anything with the Trump stuff. Okay. But in response to the gazillion-dollar judgment against former President Donald Trump, truckers, and I think it's mostly like independent guys who own their own rigs and all that sort of stuff, have said that they will boycott shipping into New York City, and I think they're thinking specifically into Midtown. They not only want to protest the judgment, but also they're saying taxes are high, the roads are terrible, it's hard as heck to get around down there, obviously. Driving an 18-wheeler down into Midtown is no good. Can't be fun. I'm curious what you have heard about this from the inside, if anything. How much stock do we put in this? What's your thought on the trucker protest, Vince?
Well, so far I've heard just about probably the same thing that you have. Nothing has happened yet in terms of a blockade or anything like that. Certainly, it would be a major inconvenience and the like. But my guess is that that's probably not going to come to fruition. That it was probably more talk than action.
A lot of talk about New York City's sanctuary city status and the number of migrants headed there. Now, I'm not saying this, but the suggestion has been put out there that perhaps the judgment for so much money has something to do with affording that sanctuary status. Has there been any talk around those?
Well, there's no question that it's, you know, there's no question that it's causing a lot of disruption, both in terms of the quality of life issue, the law and order issue, and of course the financial burden that it's putting on the city at a time when the city is trying to recover from COVID. You'd be amazed at how you know, I'd say normal, quote unquote normal life is in the city during the day and at night. But you know, New York City was always a 24-hour-a-day metropolis, and when the lights go down and the sun goes down, things get awfully quiet.
Yeah, indeed. Just let's stay on this topic for just a little bit longer. There's also concern among New York City developers and making future investments. They're saying, well, former President Trump can be held to account for something like this, they're talking about what he's been accused of, what he's been convicted of now, is something that kind of everybody does, and it's really not that big of a deal. And that leads them to wonder, who's next? Do you see a flight among developers from New York City as a potential development here?
Well, I guess there's always the potential. I'd say the odds of that occurring are quite low, number one. Number two, there's no question that the verdict, the whole episode, is certainly controversial. It's going to be appealed, and hopefully saner heads will prevail. My own suspicion is that the world will lose interest in all of this after the first Tuesday of November.
Boy, we look forward to that day, don't we, Vince?
Well, I think we look forward to that day, and what's going to be particularly interesting, what happens between that day and January 20th.
Just one more thing on this. J.P. Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon believes issues in commercial real estate, and I think he's speaking more broadly just across the country, will remain limited. And he also went on to say, look, many property owners can manage this current level of stress. Just that we've been here before, basically. He emphasized lower valuations due to higher interest rates are not a crisis, but rather a familiar occurrence. Now, that sounds like the voice of reason right there, Vince.
Well, it's also coming from a banker who has exposure to commercial real estate. But the fact is that as we look between now and year end, there's approximately $1 trillion of commercial real estate loans that have to be rolled over or whatever. And we know interest rates are higher than they were when those loans first came out. And so far, it doesn't look like the Fed is on the verge of lowering interest rates anytime soon. So I think it's reasonable to suggest that there's going to be stress over the next 6 or 9 months. I'm sure some developers will go bankrupt. I'm sure properties will change hands at discounted prices. And, you know, money, you know, the property will go from weak hands to strong hands. It's probably something the economy can withstand as long as the fundamentals are sound. But nevertheless, there's going to be stress, and it's probably going to have some employment effects and the like.
Okay, thank you for that. Just thank you for speaking to us as a New Yorker there, Vince. I really appreciate the perspective on all of that stuff. In other news this morning, Janet Yellen, head of the South America, expected to tout the resilience of the U.S. economy. There was a recession. Everyone was worried. 2023 came and went. According to Janet Yellen, the U.S. economy was so resilient that we staved it off, not only here in the United States, but globally as well. Did the recession actually happen? And maybe this is window dressing, or is something still looming, or is it true that recession just, it was the recession that wasn't?
Well, I'll say two things about that. First of all, Janet Yellen used to have some credibility before she became Treasury Secretary. Second of all, if you throw enough spaghetti at the wall, some of it is bound to stick. And the fact is that in the Biden administration, all the growth in the economy and the so-called resilience in the economy is really coming from the huge increase in government spending that has taken place, is taking place, and will continue to take place. Who ever heard of a budget deficit in excess of $2 trillion with the economy operating at full employment for more than a year? It's unheard of. And the real risk is, especially with all the potential problems out there in the world, that if there's a national emergency or if there's a recession, God only knows how high the budget deficit's going to go, but it's going to go sharply higher. And at some point, the markets are going to choke on all the treasury debt that has to be financed, that has to be floated in order to finance that deficit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and meanwhile, they've got a rally in the stock market. This is massive to point to and say, you see, the economy is fine. We've got a rousing stock market. Is that a legitimate indicator of how it's actually going, Vince?
Well, I think I think two things about that. The first thing is that, you know, profits have been good. There's no question about that, that if you look at profits in the fourth quarter of last year and thus far in the first quarter of this year, they have exceeded expectations. And that's a positive. Second of all, the liquidity is out there. The Fed has certainly stopped raising interest rates, and that in itself is a positive for the equity market. And, of course, the third thing is the artificial intelligence revolution and the potential productivity-enhancing effects stemming from artificial intelligence. And we're all hoping that it's for real. We're all hoping that it'll have long-run positive effects on productivity, because to the extent that it does, everything else constant, it will boost the economy's underlying growth rate. And we need growth in order to get out of this deficit problem. And that's one of the routes to get it. The other one would certainly be if they would deregulate the economy and stop all the nonsense they're doing, but good luck with that.
Yeah. Dr. Vince Malanga, you've been very generous with your time this morning. Thank you for your perspective. I sure appreciate it. Hey, let's be careful out there, buddy. What do you say?
You bet. Take care.
All right. Dr. Vince Malanga from LaSalle Economics, a great conversation. Love talking to Vince. I feel better about some of this stuff. You know, people get all fired up about things, and it's really great to be able to speak to Vince. We got Doug Hensley coming up next. We're going to talk land on AgriTalk.
Wake up, get ready, grab breakfast, go to work, grab lunch, come home, run to practice, run to the store, grab dinner, go to bed, and repeat. Food fuels your day, and we fuel the people producing it with the latest news, information, and perspectives from across the globe. Ag Day is a place to learn about the business of food and farming. Join us and our team of experts as we cover the stories that keep the world moving. That's weekdays for Ag Day, the country experience.
Hey, what's up, y'all? I'm Kelly Clarkson, and as the daughter of a school teacher, I know just how important education is. No matter how old you are or your situation, continuing to learn will enrich your life and help remove barriers you didn't even know were there. So much opportunity, y'all. Whether it's a foreign language, history, or a different way to look at things, take some time each day to learn something new. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
Time. Efficiency is critical for your farming or dairy operation, so extending the life of your equipment, walls, flooring, and machinery by adding plastic liners installed by Osseo Plastics and Supply only makes sense. Plastic liners wear longer than steel, and they clean up fast. The call to Osseo Plastics will save you valuable downtime and lower repair costs for years to come. Make the smart choice and call Osseo Plastics and Supply. Have them help you become more efficient with your money and time with plastic liners and resurfaced equipment and flooring from Osseo Plastics and Supply.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care, plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
Looking to upgrade the home appliances? Elsevia Co-op Heating and Cooling features gas and electric ranges, refrigerators, freezers, washers, and dryers from General Electric and Speed Queen. If you need an appliance repair, Elsevia Co-op Heating and Cooling can service all major appliances. Call Elsevia Co-op and ask for Jody Feedy. She'll help you with all of your home appliance needs. Elsevia Co-op, your GE and Speed Queen appliance dealer, Durand.
And extending the premiums that the futures hold to that cash index.
Mm-hmm. Take me over to cotton, top right corner here of our chart screen. I got the March at 99 even. The first three contracts up 200 plus points on the day. Does that tell us something?
Well, yeah, the cotton market remains explosive here, and you mentioned 99 cents, so a dollar or 100 cents is just above that, so that's a key critical level.
Brian Grady on Markets Now.
Ah, winter, with its cold, dry air causing that not-so-nice winter nose feeling. Thankfully, you don't have to wait for warmer weather to clear sinus congestion and send winter nose packing. All you need is Navage Nasal Care. Navage helps soothe the inflamed nasal passages that are often part of colds and infections. It flushes a pure, refreshing saline solution through your sinuses to give you the soothing moisture you need. Navage also sucks out the other irritants trapped in your nose, viruses, dust, bacteria, and germs too. Winter might feel like it drags on forever, but Navage works quickly, helping you breathe more clearly in just 30 seconds. No decongestants required. Navage is a drug-free solution that helps you breathe easier, sleep better, and feel healthier. Get Navage today and make winter a little more bearable. Navage is available online at Navage.com or in stores at Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, Rite Aid, and Target. Navage, N-A-V-A-G-E. Clean nose, healthy life.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack, but not with ZipRecruiter. Its powerful technology actively finds and invites qualified candidates to apply to your job. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you the needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Progressive presents an ad from Mom.
Hello? Is it on? Oh, okay. Bundle your home and auto insurance with Progressive and get protection round the clock. Round the clock? Does this generation even understand what round the clock means? But don't come, I'm just saying, because don't come to me when they ask for to do this over, because the kids won't get it.
Get round-the-clock protection when you bundle and save with Progressive. It's easier than getting your mom to make this radio ad. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states or situations.
I don't know if we can necessarily find an analog year for what we're experiencing weather-wise this year. An early spring or a warm February like this has... Does that do anything for land sales? I feel like it would probably spur some early sales.
Well, it makes it easier to get to sales that are scheduled. That's for sure, Davis. I don't know that it spurs any additional sales. I think what it does is it kind of points everybody towards spring and gets them thinking that, hey, if I'm going to get something done before spring planting season as it relates to a sale, they need to be making priority to get that done. So maybe so. I don't think it probably changes things appreciably from an overall volume perspective. But like I said, it probably does nudge people towards taking action if they plan to get something done.
Yeah, can we talk about volume just a little bit? How has volume been over the past few months?
Yep. So actually, I think the market compared to 22 and 23 market has been very much in transition for about the past 6 to 9 months is the way I would describe it. And we can somewhat look back and follow the grain market to, they are very connected. The volume in land sales and where the grain markets are strongly correlated. And think of it this way, Davis, when you have an asset that is really valuable, you want to sell it at a time when everybody's feeling good about the market, don't you? And in early 2023, people were still feeling pretty good, selling $6 corn and $14 or $15 soybeans. And as we got into the growing season last year, we obviously had a little bit of volatility. But generally, when we look back at the year, the 52-week charts over the past year, we kind of see this slow grind to the low side when it comes to commodities. And I think as we got into the summer, that reality started to surface with potential land sellers. And we actually saw a drop in volume market-wide across the second half of 2023. Obviously, there's some months. November's always a really busy auction month coming out of harvest. But when we look at year-over-year comparisons, we're actually seeing less overall volume in the marketplace for land sales than what we have in the past 3 to 4 years. And again, that stands to reason because people don't like to sell in the face of weakness in commodities. And so I actually think the drop in overall sales volume for land is one of the things that's actually helping maintain price levels, because even in spite of the drop in commodity prices, we haven't seen an appreciable change in land values, at least yet. And so I think the reality of fewer farms coming on the market, I think that's a supply and demand concept that most of your listeners will understand. Whenever something's scarce, the price of it typically goes up. And in a, from a big picture perspective, that holds in the land business as well. When we see fewer sales, generally speaking, prices are going to be stickier, even in the face of underlying weakness in other parts of the market. So does that make sense what I'm sharing with you?
Absolutely, it does. Although I'm curious, I'm not seeing nearly as many exclamation points when firms report land sales. I'm not seeing those $25,000, $26,000, $27,000, even $30,000 sales anymore. It seems like we're settling in sort of sub $20,000 per acre for most of the sales that I'm seeing.
Yeah, for sure. It's certainly a situation where across the market, and we're not hitting any new highs right now. I think most of the new highs were made, 9 to 18 months ago. And here in 2024, given, both commodity prices and higher interest rates and just some of these pressures that we haven't seen for a while, kind of takes a top out of the market. And that's not to say that you can't still have a really strong sale. And, there have been some 20,000 plus sales, but you're exactly right. We're not seeing the 25s and 30s that caught so much of the press, 12 to 24 months ago. And truth be told, that, even when we saw those 25 and 27 and $30,000 sales, that wasn't the market. Those were exceptions within the market. But you more commonly see those exceptions show up when you have strength, because the top just gets a little higher. And so, sure. We're not seeing that in today's market. I think we're still maintaining ourselves pretty well. And it depends a little bit on exactly where you are and how good of a crop people had last year. There are some pockets that had really you know, super dry conditions, and they didn't grow a very good crop. And so the pressure is even a little tighter in some of those areas than what it is broadly. But overall, I think we're kind of holding our own, and I think we're waiting for this grain market to find a bottom, and then we'll figure out which way to go from there.
Well, and I'm curious, this may be two completely unrelated matters, but let's rewind, what, a year and a half ago, maybe even 2 years ago, when the land market really took off and we started to see more of those pops to the upside. Like you said, you know, those maybe aberrational sales, but nonetheless, 27 grand in, you know, in Nebraska.
Hey, it's real money.
Is of note. did the land market see the rally in the stock market coming? Was it a necessary precursor or some sort of precursor to a rally in the stock market? Can we draw that connection?
I don't think so. I don't think there's a strong correlation between the equity markets and the land market. What I would say is, however, the weakness in the land market is really related to factors that are very directly connected to it. The equities have been on a tear, and that's a little surprising. And I think that to some people it is, particularly given the interest rate environment that we're in. But the reality is that there's still consumer dollars at play. And, you know, companies, on the equity side of things have been making strong profits. And so that has been powering things. And as it relates to the stock market and the Fed, the Fed is looking at the strength in the overall economy, even in spite of these increases in interest rates. And they're saying, hey, we're not going to be cutting rates anytime soon. There's still some level of thought that maybe they're not done raising rates. And, that's obviously a wet blanket to the land market when we see this higher interest rate environment. And it's not to say that farmers and farmland buyers have been borrowing a lot of money, because they're coming off of 2 to 3 just phenomenal profit years. Yeah. But when we start doing math on a potential land purchase, and we're plugging in 7.5-8% interest rates over a long term, compared to what we were using in an interest rate plug figure, 2 years ago when it was 3.5-4.5%, the math really changes. And so at some point, the interest rate environment is going to put enough pressure on our overall economy that things will slow down. But you're right. Investors, pure play investors, have been saying, hey, this land market's been on a terrific tear for 2 to 3 years, and equities may have been a little, mispriced, relatively speaking. So some people may have gotten into the equity markets because of the strength in land.
Interesting. Yeah. Doug, putting together my monthly landowner newsletter, picking through sales and things, I know that your company has had some pretty decent exposure in Minnesota. It seems like Minnesota row crop land feels kind of hot right now. Is that a thing?
Yeah. Well, I think it is. And people, there's years ago, it was kind of the west central part of Illinois that was a little bit of an unknown market. And I think Minnesota is maybe that most recent new discovery to particularly investor buyers of farmland. And when I think of southern Minnesota, or Minnesota in general, I think of those southern 3 or 4 counties that are really productive, quality soils, really strong operators. And, you have a little more weather risk as you get up there. But in many ways, I think of southern 3 or 4 counties in Minnesota almost as an extension of Iowa from a capacity to grow crops perspective. And, years ago, we didn't have ethanol and all the livestock use in exactly the same levels. And so the grain markets also in that area have shifted over time, and the basis has strengthened. And, the difference between central Illinois and northern Iowa or southern Minnesota used to be really, really great, and it has narrowed over time. And so, I think there's people looking at Minnesota in a way that they probably wouldn't have 10 to 15 years ago, just because of the development in the market. And knowledge travels so much quicker today, or information travels so much quicker, Davis, and people can evaluate a farm with some of the tools that we have in a way that before, covering the miles was just harder to do. So technology has brought us a long way and provided some visibility in markets that maybe weren't as exposed as what they used to be.
Doug, we're going to run out of time quick, but I want to give you a chance. Where can people get more on what you're doing over there at Hertz Real Estate?
Yep, they can always jump on our website, hertz.ag. That's hertz.ag. Good to be with you, Davis. Always is.
Outstanding, Doug. Thank you so much for your perspective. We appreciate you, brother. On the other side of this here break, I think we got Big Apple Joe coming in. He wants to say words. And you know what? I've got some fertilizer news. Yeah, I'll tell you the prices, but I also have some news. News!
This is Andrew McRae, host of The American Countryside. I'm also a farmer and rancher from Northwest Missouri, and I hope you'll join me each week for Farming the Countryside as we take a look at the top issues impacting agriculture as told by the people farming and working in their industry. We'll talk about markets and trade, share some of the latest tips and trends from grain and livestock producers, and take a look at trends impacting rural America. Join me for Farming the Countryside on many local radio stations or on your favorite podcast platform, or just go to farmingthecountryside.com.
There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
Just a little heads up before something bad happens.
Move your coffee cup away from your computer.
Oh, no, 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 no.
So you can have more control.
Stop. You're texting your boss by mistake.
Uh-oh. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org.
Warning, the cap is loose on that ketchup.
Ugh. Don't wait. You have the power to change the outcome. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Potential. It's the one thing that farmers work tirelessly to reach. Sometimes it takes more than just sweat equity. It takes real financial backing. And whether it's land, equipment, or a little help to make the most of your operation, FBN Finance is the partner for you. At FBN Finance, our Farmers First philosophy means that we have a team of ag experts that looks at each farm and farmer's unique needs, giving you a loan package that fits your goals. And now with FBN Finance, you can get $500 off closing costs for farmland loans over $250,000. With great rates, instant approvals, and a pre-qualification on farmland loans, FBN Finance has everything you need to be your partner in the fields and with your finances. Start your farmland loan today at fbn.com/agritalk or call 833-FBN-LEND. That's 833-FBN-LEND. FBN Finance, more than a lender. Financing offered by FBN Finance, LLC, and its lending partners. Available where FBN Finance, LLC is licensed. Terms and conditions apply. NMLS ID 1631119.
Hi, I'm Paul Niefer, a CPA and author of the Farm CPA blog and column for Top Producer. Join me every week on the Top Producer podcast for conversations about the top trends in farm management, tax issues, succession planning, policy implications, and more. Each week, I visit with business-minded farmers and ag experts for lively and in-depth conversations. Subscribe to the Top Producer podcast, available on your preferred podcast platform, and listen to a new episode every Tuesday.
This is Chip Flory with another Appetite for Pork report. Dr. David Newman with the National Pork Board. The Pork Checkoff has been working to expand markets here at home. David, what exactly does that mean for pork producers?
It means we need to understand who our consumer is, what they want to purchase, what they want to prepare, and also where they're shopping. So using the data and insights we gather at the National Pork Board, it prepares us well for future consumers. So understanding and building relationships with retailers, food service companies, even convenience store operations is important.
All right, what does that look like on the ground level?
We currently have activations in more than 579 food service locations and numerous convenience store locations as well. So this is starting to pay off in the volume and value gain for pork producers.
Thanks again, David, for talking with us today about how the Pork Checkoff is building a bigger appetite for U.S. pork. You can find more information at porkcheckoff.org/radio.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report, and more than a host, I'm a journalist, a wife, and a mom of two, raising a family in the heart of rural America. I understand the issues facing agriculture today because I live it every day. I see firsthand how farming and ranching isn't just a job, it's a way of life. Covering America's most important industry is what we do, and it's why U.S. Farm Report has been on the air for nearly 50 years. I invite you to join us every weekend for U.S. Farm Report, a timely, trusted tradition.
We've cleared the schedule for you. Give us a call at 855-482-5524 and join the conversation.
Alka-Seltzer directly into the coffee. Wow, I don't know if that's ever been attempted before. I feel like if you're in a position where you're putting Alka-Seltzer in your morning coffee, you maybe need to rethink your evening routine. Just a thought. Just a thought. Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Davis Michelson here with you. Chip is traveling, and so is our very own Big Apple Joe. However, he just can't keep away. He can't keep away. I've got Big Apple Joe on the line right now, actually. Hey, buddy, how's it going?
Oh, just great. It's 67 degrees out here. I'm pulled over right now, but I was driving with the windows down, the arm hanging out the side. I just love it. It's going to be even better down in here.
You sound like you're in some sort of tube. Did you rent one of those smart cars? Is that what you got going there, buddy?
It's just the usual Farm Journal truck. I don't know how smart it is.
All right. That's up to the driver, bro, to bring the smart. So you are headed to Houston, Texas for Commodity Classic. You wanted to hop on here and just give some more details. So let me just turn it over to you. What do you want to say, bro?
Well, obviously today you are behind the big green leafy microphone, and Harrison Jessup is sitting in for me, and so is Sam Green for a couple afternoon shows, so you're in good hands. Then it's tomorrow, and Chip will return as the host. It's not officially a Commodity Classic show, but nevertheless, we're going to have a conversation with Rick Brock of the Brock Report. Usually we save the marketing stuff for the afternoon show, but we feel that it's dominating ag so much these days that the morning show tomorrow will also be about the markets. And we also have something of a market-focused farmer forum with Caleb Hamer and Ryan Wagner. So that's tomorrow morning. Tomorrow afternoon, that's when things really get going, and we're going to be broadcasting from Commodity Classic in the National Corn Growers Association's booth. That's on the third floor, number 7405. We're going to have Jim McCormick from Ag Market. He's going to be one of our guests. He's going to be our guest analyst for tomorrow afternoon's show. And we're also going to have a conversation with NCGA President Harold Woolley. So that'll be a good way to kick things off down there, I think.
You bet.
Chip's really excited. He's like, here we are at Commodity Classic, and we're going to be broadcasting from NCGA's booth. He's really excited about that.
It sounds like perfection.
And then, it's going to be cool. And then USB, United Soybean Board. You know, we've been reporting a lot on what they've been up to these days. Remember, we went to the ports in Washington and Louisiana, that's right. Yep. And so here again at Commodity Classic, we're going to capitalize on an opportunity to tell more of USB's continuing story. And we've actually turned the scheduling duties over to them for the Thursday and Friday morning show. I should be getting the details for who we're going to be talking with. We have some ideas, but I don't want to say anybody until we're absolutely 100% sure. But those are going to be really good, informative shows, both on Thursday and Friday morning. And we'll be doing those from USB's booth. That's on the first floor at number 2311. So that'll be fun. And, you know, anybody who's going to be at Commodity Classic, you know, feel free to come on, check us out, how we do things, how the sausage is made, so to speak, and see how these conversations unfold live, or, you know, listen on the radio or streaming as you normally do. That's fine as well. We're not particular.
So we've got Wednesday p.m. show at the NCGA booth up on the third floor, but then Thursday and Friday, both the a.m. shows are at USB booth 2311 on the first floor there. What you got Thursday afternoon?
Thursday afternoon, we will be at Meristem's booth. That's on the third floor. That's number 6439.
Okay. At the Meristem booth on Thursday.
Yeah, that's right. That's number 6439, third floor. Our so far, we have two market analysts, Brian Doherty from Total Farm Marketing by Stuart Peterson, and Rich Nelson from Allendale, Inc., and they will be there with us in person. I've never met them yet, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, cool guys.
No, in fact, it'll be good. And so, at Meristem's booth, we'll definitely stick with the marketing focus as usual, especially because you never know what the story might be.
Right.
And we'll have two different perspectives at least. I know Ted Seifried from Zehner Ag Hedge is going to be in the building.
He'll be around.
We'll see. We'll see if we can work him in. I'm hoping we can.
Yeah.
But you never know. A lot of times these shows, they get like an airplane, sometimes a little overbooked.
Sure.
We don't want to have that happen, but sometimes we can't help it.
It's an embarrassment of riches when it comes to guests down there, isn't it, Joe?
I think so. Yes, indeed.
And then Friday, the afternoon show. Friday afternoon show, we've got to get this in quick. BASF booth on the first floor at 3203, booth number 3203 for the Friday p.m. show. Joe?
Yep, we'll have Oliver Slope, never met him, Blue Line Futures, Tommy Grisafi, I don't think I've met him, from Advanced Trading and Ag Bull Media. Looking forward to meeting everybody, looking forward to seeing everybody down there. Thank you.
You know, Chip always comes home from these deals all excited, and he's talking about the interaction and all this stuff. Joe, I'm excited for you to meet some of these folks that you haven't met before. I think this will be really cool, and it's great coverage, dude. It's like the whole, we got this afternoon, but then the whole rest of the week, just jam-packed with experts and people who are really switched on.
Yep, you bet. It's going to be a celebration of agriculture, that is for sure.
I love that, a celebration of ag. Big Apple Joe Stackler, travel safe, buddy. We love you, and we'll talk to you from Houston. What say?
Sounds good to me. Thanks. Great show. I heard it all.
Oh, well, thank you. Gosh, the boss was listening in. I didn't even know. I didn't know I was supposed to be nervous.
I'm not
it was a great
babies.
Show. We appreciate Dr. Vince Malanga, Doug Hensley from Hertz Real Estate, of course, and Karen Bonert and Big Apple Joe. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. I'm Davis Michelson. This afternoon, I plan to talk with Carl Setzer from Consus, the commodity cowboy himself. We'll talk about some of these same issues here, too, because Carl's a big thinker, but we'll also make it super practical if we can. We'll talk grains, we'll talk marketing, we'll talk livestock, and we'll find out if miniature cows are as good as the regular-sized ones.
When we told growers that Bayer Premium Trifold Herbicide for corn delivers visibly clean fields for up to 8 weeks, they were a bit skeptical.
We'll see how it works.
So we decided to prove it. We set up cameras in multiple cornfields, treated them with Trifold, and filmed for 24 hours a day. For 8 weeks, we saw a variety of weather conditions, and Trifold worked. See for yourself at TrifoldInAction.com. Trifold is a restricted-use pesticide. Consult your state pesticide regulator for specific restrictions. Read and follow pesticide label directions.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement, and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Starting with one store in 1978, Boot Barn has become the largest Western and workwear retailer in the nation. Supporting those who feed, build, and protect America, we offer the largest selection of cowboy boots, work boots, Western wear, workwear, and outdoor gear. With over 500,000 pairs of boots and thousands of top-quality jeans and clothing, it's an honor to support the people who make our country so great. Boot Barn. Keep West.